Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Group Chat.
Woo!
This episode is particularly special because we're live.
Wow.
For the first time ever.
How nervous are you?
I'm not nervous, man. I'm a veteran.
Okay.
Are you?
I'm very nervous.
The lights seem brighter.
Yeah, they do.
The audience seems bigger. Yeah. We have a couple more people back here working on stuff because it takes more manpower.
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
We got a point in when it was time to go.
Yeah, I like the point in. That felt made it feel official.
Yeah, it did. Welcome to Group Chat. I am Christopher Drama Path. I am the co-founder and CEO of Young and Reckless. I'm the host of the Short Story Long podcast. And most importantly, I'm the co-host of Group Chat. And this is D.
What's up, guys? D. Murthy here, co-founder of Menlo Club, Menlo House, and co-founder of Group Chat. I'm an emerging social media star.
Yeah, numbers are just growing.
Growing. You never know how big it'll get.
Every day. Likes are up, engagement's up, it's all up. Welcome to our new page. Also, this is season two of Group Chat, where we move to a separate page, Group Chat News. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment. This page is dedicated just for Group Chat.
Yes, awesome.
Let's get into it, man.
Yeah.
We got a busy week. We got a lot of topics. We're going to try to just get through them all.
Yeah, let's do it.
First and foremost, tech stocks are getting creamed.
Hammered. This morning, the stock market just closed.
Yeah.
And NASDAQ went down nearly 3%. Dow went down nearly 2%. S&P 500 went down 2%. The big stocks, which most probably almost every mutual fund in the world is in, which are called the FANG stocks, for those that don't know. It's Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, are getting creamed.
Why?
So a bunch of reasons. One, Facebook is still having the lingering effect of the Cambridge stuff. So fake news, the PR for the company right now is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
And I think any chance people can kind of take at it, they're going after them. And if you really think about how big of an impact public perception is for a consumer platform like Snapchat, look what happened to it. Everyone kept beating it up, and now the stock and company has been beaten up. Yeah. So people are very afraid of Facebook in that regards. Apple has just been stagnant in terms of their growth in their last couple quarters.
And like we said, that iPhone X sucked.
Yeah. I mean, look, it sold a lot of units.
Sucked.
And sales are still strong for their core thing. But yes, the product sucked.
No, but I will say, like, all joking aside, like, it did sell a lot and blah, blah, blah. But I do feel like there was more pushback than usual on that phone.
Yeah.
Normally, it's like, it's here. It's the greatest thing ever. Jesus made it for us. Thank you so much. This is the best phone ever.
Yeah.
This one got a lot of, like, bad feedback.
And there's actually two A's in FANG, so my mistake on that. But the other A is Amazon, and Trump is just going after them.
What did he do? I saw the tweet.
So he said the tweet, and then he just says, like, crazy facts, like, oh, they're destroying the Postal Service. And in reality, the Postal Service is probably only surviving because of Amazon, because of the number of packages they're shipping.
Yeah.
You know, he has a valid point to why they should go after Amazon, because it has crushed American retail.
Yep.
But you got to go after it on things that are actually the facts and actually true, which obviously things he's not a big fan
of. Not notorious for that.
But, like, you know, the real issue with Amazon is that they don't have to operate profitably on their core e-com business, because they have this business called AWS, which is their hosting business, that finances the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Prime is such a valuable kind of asset. And the content, and they're able to spend recklessly across their e-com platform because their hosting business is pissing cash.
Yeah.
And that's really where the challenge that people are competing against Amazon on. So he's saying, oh, we need to go after them. And he probably has a lot of people that are cheering him on here.
I'm sure.
I mean, even part of me is like, yeah, you know what?
Yeah, get them, Trump.
Yeah, get them. They haven't helped us in any way. They've hurt us in only way.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's in all these articles too, though, that he's like obsessed with Jeff Bezos is what it keeps saying.
I think the real, and I've heard this rumor. So Bezos owns Washington Post.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Washington Post attacks the crap out of Donald Trump.
Got it.
And it's considered the...
That's dangerous.
Yes. And so that's really the challenge is I think it's like the media thing that... Bezos owns this very valuable piece of news in America.
Yep.
And I don't know if Bezos is involved editorially in any way. I doubt it. I don't think he has time
for that. Yeah, I'm surprised he wouldn't. I mean, I guess he doesn't. I don't know. I'm surprised he wouldn't be a little bit more careful. But I guess that's exactly what you don't want to do.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. So yeah. The Amazon is one issue. Then Netflix has just gone up, you know, it's just gone up a lot in the last kind of 2 years.
Yep.
They've taken on a lot of debt. So there's argument to believe that, hey, there's some financial risk in Netflix. Google, if you talk to a lot of kind of experts in the tech space, Google pretty much has survived off one thing, which is search. Mm-hmm. They own search. Mm-hmm. You can't search for anything in the world if it's not with Google.
Yep.
The rest of their businesses have not proven to be very profitable.
Yep.
Even YouTube, people have said, is not profitable. And I'm sure they probably break it out because of the server costs and things like that, licensing revenue and all those types of things. So yep. Search is really what's been driving their business for so long. And so you're pretty much betting that no one ever will get into search.
Yeah.
And which is maybe the case, but...
But could you even take them on, really?
I mean, when Google came on, they took on Yahoo, which yeah. no one thought would take on. And obviously, it's a different world today, and Google is way bigger than Yahoo was at the peak of Yahoo.
Yep.
But I just, you know, when you look at these stocks that are getting hammered right now, this actually affects the average Joe, because the average guy has bought in these stocks the last 5 years.
I know we have, like, employees who have done it. Yeah.
All my friends are in Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, and have done extremely well.
Yep.
So now you're calling if it's your broker, your wealth advisor, whomever, and saying, it's gone down a lot. Like, some of these stocks are off 20% off their highs in 60 days.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, now the Dow is officially down for the year.
Yeah.
And so when you start seeing things like this, this stuff can spiral out of control really quickly and put us all into a recession.
Yeah.
That's why it's scary, because if the stock market drops a few thousand points in a row, it gets really ugly really quickly. I mean, I don't know how old the average person who listens to us or watches us, but 2008, it was just a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Like day after day, recession. Yeah. Like, you woke up...
How long did that take? Like, that pitfall?
It was fast because these big banks were falling apart. Lehman Brothers was really the kickoff.
Yeah.
Lehman Brothers with the subprime mortgages and things of that nature. Between subprime mortgages, Lehman Brothers on credit default swaps, they're called.
Yeah.
You can look it up. It's a long
discussion. I've watched all the documentaries.
Yeah, all that stuff put those companies bankrupt. And then... It just started a crazy kind of spiral downward effect of all the banks.
Got it. It just seems like a bad time for tech. Like, I think tech is so strong and powerful and smart that obviously I'm not saying like there's anything massive coming, but like, I just think it feels bad. Like,
I think the sentiment is bad.
Because which has never happened. Everyone's just loved it.
The businesses are actually stronger than ever. That's why, like, if you're looking as an investor, I don't like to give stock advice. I don't even buy stock. I've only bought one stock the last few years, and it's done extremely poorly.
What was it?
It's ultra short on the S&P 500.
Yeah.
So finally, it's finally going up now because the stock market's falling apart.
Yeah.
But I always thought, I was like, this is defying gravity.
Yeah.
Like, we've been going up since the recession, which is nearly 10 years now.
Yeah.
And whatever goes up must come down.
So you're hoping that we fail.
No, I'm just hedging my life, because if the whole world falls apart, at least this stock is up, so I have some money.
Fair. Yeah, it just feels weird, and it always feels like like you said, the sentiment is bad, but the businesses are ran well, which is true, but I almost feel like, especially in today's day and age, and when you're talking about things that people use, like they use Facebook as a product, when you start to have a bad feeling about it, it gets really dangerous, because you simply run the risk of it just snowballing.
So I agree. The problem is the companies we just mentioned, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, with the exception of Netflix, none of them have any competition.
Yeah.
So think about it. Facebook still owns Instagram. They still own WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Apple literally has $100 billion in cash, the biggest moat on their cell phone business, and other hardwares or properties are still growing. Amazon clearly has a moat on their business.
Yeah.
And Google has no competition in search. So
fair.
It could be an interesting opportunity if they continue to go down. Like, I'm sure people are going to come in and start buying the stock.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's over. I just think that it's weird that for the first time there's all of this stuff happening.
Yeah.
that's just bad. And even YouTube's getting the bad press for how it targets you and takes you down a wormhole of wherever you're slightly inclined to go. Even the Tesla car crash, the Uber killing a person.
Self-driving. They got a bad rap. And the funny thing is it's terrifying what happened. But if you consider how many traffic deaths are daily in this country, my guess is that the studies are going to show eventually that
self-driving... But I don't think people care about the studies.
Yeah.
I think it's the headline of driverless Uber kills a human being is just hard to get out of.
Yeah.
And I have trouble arguing it because, like you said, like somebody died, so you don't want to be like...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that I think that the way that it's perceived will be much worse mm-hmm. on the company and on the idea of driverless cars and technology. It's an attack on technology, I think.
Yeah,
and I think that a lot of these people that are unhappy or maybe aren't sure exactly what's even going on in that world, these headlines just look bad. It just looks like tech
is
scary.
The robots are taking over.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, if you're not well informed on these companies, it sounds scary what they're doing. When you read about the Facebook analytics scandals, you read about Google checking everything, and you're just like, what? What are we doing? Yeah. And by the way, all these companies probably displace their job.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why they don't work at where they work or maybe their income has gone down is because of these companies.
I think that's the number one fear, right? The number one fear is that tech is going to take their jobs. Even if it isn't right now, they think that it's going to.
They're not off.
I don't think
they are. They're not off.
No.
And the problem is they don't have an alternate solution. So they just kind of have to fight it for as long as you can.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And Tesla, because Elon...
Well, Tesla, their Model 3, which we actually saw in San Jose the other day, which looks like a great car. There's been some delays on the output.
Yep.
And Elon Musk, as great as he is, he's kind of reckless in the way he spoke. And he kind of said something, maybe we may go bankrupt. Or something just like in casual statement.
Yeah.
And that obviously spooks investors of a $50 billion business.
Yep.
And so... the stock went down because of it. And that's today. It obviously kind of got caught up in all the downtrend that's happening. But I would keep a close eye on the stock market if I was everyone, just because it's going to give you a pretty good indication of the general mood in this country when it comes to finances. Because, unfortunately, it's like anything in investing. The top 1% control the destiny. We're just here for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And so good or bad, they're going to make money. It's whether we're going to get burned on the way down.
Yeah, fair. Okay, another note.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook is killing comedy.
Yeah, they just kill everybody. Huh?
The death of comedy.
They ruined the country. They ruined England. And now they're killing
comedy. Coming for joy.
Joy. Pure
murder joy. they kill the Funny or Die.
Yeah.
Which looks like it's choosing die. is saying that Facebook essentially set them up for failure.
Yeah. So I mean, the CEO is spoke to a website this week about layoffs they're having in their company and that they're struggling. And a big part of it was, he said that when they launched, they were very reliant on the Facebook platform and Facebook encouraged them to kind of be built on the platform. Mm-hmm. This is the same for BuzzFeed. This is the same for a lot of people in the content space. Being in a content independent website space is super scary right now. Because the only way you can make money is if your content goes viral.
Yeah.
But if these platforms don't allow for content to go viral, because they don't want your content to be shown unless you pay for it, you can't make money.
Yep.
And that's what happened. Funny or Die was so reliant on Facebook that one day when Facebook said, we're not going to show organic content anymore. We want to show your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It was a wrap. Mm-hmm. And everyone's traffic plummeted.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of many sites, confidentially, that have fallen off a cliff because they can't drive traffic to their site because they were relying on Facebook.
Yep.
Look, at the end of the day, it's Funny or Die's problem. They should have adapted and seen this on the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
But it just sucks because I remember when Facebook was encouraging everyone to post on their brand page, post on your business page to create that organic content, and they killed it.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me how social media has changed. Like, the way people use it has changed. Meaning, I don't know, if you really remember those days, even if you forget about Facebook encouraging those companies to make content for their platforms, that's just how you used to use Facebook. Yeah. You know, you when Facebook was first blowing up and really getting household name traction, you would find a funny video from somewhere else, and Facebook was the place where you would share it. And that was just the normal behavior. And now that is just changed. And I feel like you can see that happening across all platforms, even on Instagram. I even noticed the way that I use Instagram is changing. Like the stuff I used to post or the way I used to post, it doesn't work anymore. You know, like people want the nice photos and the long captions and the engagement and the place to have a conversation. Not like, hey, here's my dog, like eating my hat, right? I mean, like, I guess that's for your story, but like the way that people are using these platforms is changing.
Yeah. And I think that like the content sites really have to figure out how to evolve with it, because if you're funny or die, here's your challenge. It's like everything else. How do you find traffic? Like, if we knew we could build traffic for group chat outside of YouTube, we wouldn't be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? We need YouTube because we know we need to get shared. Don't listen to this, YouTube. Don't listen to this.
Yes, of course. Of course. But that's everyone. That's why even we talked about the Logan Paul situation, like the biggest YouTuber that exists, we don't believe could go start his own platform and do his own thing and have nearly the amount of traction. Right? Yeah. It's even what we talked about. We talked about it with our businesses and with our content, creating web pages and creating all those things. And it's almost like, sure, that's good. And it's nice to have everything on a web page. But people are going to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. And so it's almost like if the content isn't there, you have a really hard time pulling them away from that to go check content somewhere else.
Yeah, because the funnier die guys, like maybe if they linked out and let people go to people's sites, that could work. But I don't think people want to leave the platform either.
They don't.
When they're in Facebook mode, they don't want to go somewhere else.
And there's plenty of good content on there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. People have gotten used to seeing a funny meme or, you know, a baby playing with a cat or something. And you don't need like...
So that actually answers what I was thinking, was that the quality of content, people are okay with lesser quality content if they could stay in the platform.
Yes.
They'd rather not go to, which is mind blowing for creative people. Because, you know, there's people that want to do these high budget quality content for YouTube and for on their own for their brand. And the reality is we'd rather the stuff I watch on like Facebook video is hysterical. Like I saw a classroom scared by an Easter bunny and I watched it 10 times.
The little kids were screaming. I saw it too.
Yeah. Like that's the content. It was blurry. Man.
Yeah.
It was so blurry.
It was terrible. But I watched it 5 to 7 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I shared it to everyone. And so I think the that's a big disconnect, because Funny or Die made super high quality content.
Yep.
And they want people to link out. And now no one wants to link out. You have to live within the platform. Because they can't make money unless you come to their site.
No, yeah, you're right. It's a really, really
tough, tough place. Because who's creating original content that's not living on the platform and being successful? I don't know one person.
And just off of traffic.
Yeah.
Like when your business model is traffic, that's the hardest.
Yeah, that's literally the hardest thing to get.
If you're selling product, at least you can sell that through Facebook, right? But when you're selling traffic and these people are just owning all the traffic, I don't know. I don't envy their battle.
Yeah, the only option they have is if Funny or Die is actually truly that strong content, it can end up living at an Amazon Prime Video, a Netflix. That's probably where their real route is.
Yeah.
Because my brother just got back from India and he said everyone's on Amazon Prime Video.
Yep.
He's just like, they're addicted to it.
Yeah, he said that to me too.
Which is crazy.
Okay, moving on.
Cool.
This one bums me out.
Okay.
And every now and then on group chat, we can't have all positive news.
Okay.
During the month of, what month was this? February or March?
February.
Okay. As we're, you know, this big school shooting happened in Parkland. The March for Our Lives thing was last month in March. Donations to the NRA, not gun sales, right? I understand when there's a threat of guns being taken away that gun sales go up. I understand that.
Yeah.
But in February, donations to the NRA skyrocketed.
Booming.
What was the number?
My price went up.
What was the number?
January was $250,000.
Yep.
The NRA Political Victory Fund raked in $779,000 in individual contributions in February alone.
Insane.
And what's crazy is, if you think about it, February 14th was Parkland.
Yep.
So that means most of it happened in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Those kids went on press. That town hall with that lady that we saw all over D.C. that everyone hates.
Yep.
Dana, is that her name?
Yep.
She went on and she was effective. She crushed it.
I don't get it, man. I don't even want to go too deep down the like rabbit hole here because it actually affects, like I actually have like an opinion on it, right? But I just don't understand. There's such a massive disconnect between
what's actually trying to happen versus what people,
that's everyone the part think, that kills me. Like we went to DC, we posted videos. You have more of a liberal crowd.
Yeah.
I got hammered. Like I just lost thousands of followers, bad feedback, people calling me every name under the book. And the problem was not one person argued the actual, what's actually being proposed.
Because everyone thinks who is a NRA supporter that they're trying to take away the guns.
Yep. All of them.
All of the guns.
Yep.
That is not the case. All they're saying is universal background check and raising age. Yeah. That is the starting point.
Yeah.
You know, but no
common
one wants
sense gun laws is what they keep. And I will say this. I honestly believe, call me naive, liberal, Hollywood elite, but I believe that if, let's just say that was step one, and then step two was let's try to figure out how to get rid of all the guns. A lot of the people that are supporting this issue would push back and say, no, that's too much.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like all these people at this rally want every gun melted down in this country, right?
It's not even possible. So it's, at this point, there's so many millions of guns.
Yeah.
The, eradicating guns from America aren't happening.
Yeah.
So all we're saying is just get it out of the hands of people that don't shouldn't have them.
Yeah.
At least start there.
I just can't believe how incredibly polarized every single thing is.
Yeah.
And like you have this march with kids. We were there. It was so powerful. And like kids who had just went through this crazy tragedy and a million people and all this stuff. And then you have people literally donating who never would have before, obviously, to the NRA because that's how passionately they feel. It's like this crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you get, once again, not to be too sort of big and dreamy here, but like how do you get it back in line? How do you get people somewhat on the same page to realize that this isn't, things aren't that polar?
I mean, the powers that be on that support their cause need to change their mind.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, the thing is 700,000 is nothing. Nothing. That is not a lot of money.
What do you mean?
So they're, you know, they raise their donation. So everyone thinks the NRA is like, you know, there's piles and piles of money.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, there's so many people richer than the NRA.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
What I'm saying is it's not even a lot of money. Look, Marco Rubio wants money. Why doesn't someone just give him the money and say, you know what? Don't take money from these clowns.
Yeah, but aren't the gun manufacturers putting up a lot of money?
Think about how big do you think gun business is compared to how much cash Apple spits out.
True. True. But you're talking about Apple jumping into that.
No, I'm not saying, but there's individuals who are very powerful that will spend money on a boat that's worth more than the NRA.
Fair.
So if you want to participate in this and you're wealthy, why don't you not upgrade the latest yacht for $250 million and just solve the gun crisis in
America? Yeah, because they'd rather have a nice yacht with no guns on it. Not have a care in the world. All right. Well, either way, that's a fact. It's the harsh reality. And I'm curious to see what March is. Is March higher?
I'm sure March is going to be booming because the March happened.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But that one's a bit of a downer. Once again, in similar vein, Laura Ingraham from Fox News.
Yeah.
Same person.
Shut up in Instagram.
the famous shut up and dribble star.
Yeah.
Made fun of David Hogg, who was one of the main Parkland speakers, kids from the school.
Yeah.
And made fun of him for not getting accepted to the colleges he wanted, right? Yeah. So he had said kind of openly like that he wasn't getting accepted to the colleges. Something about speaking in front of all these people, blah, 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 and can't get accepted to the right college. And she came out and laughed at him for it.
Yeah. And he, like he should, he attacked her.
He did.
And
he's a savage.
He is.
He's a little like, he's a little out there, meaning like he's very aggressive. Like he's very loud, very like hard to miss. But man, I give him credit for like.
You can't go against people like Laura Ingraham with common sense.
Yeah.
Because they're not fighting you with common sense.
True.
And so.
That's what LeBron did.
And LeBron took it. He took the high road, and he spoke.
Enough of this, like, they go low, we go high stuff.
Nah, you gotta go higher.
Go low too.
You gotta go lower. Yeah, lower.
They go go lower.
Way lower.
Like LeBron's gotta be like, all right, we're getting in the mud.
Yeah, just you know, and the thing is this kid went and attacked and said, these are your advertisers, and we're not gonna support them anymore. And these people backed off. Johnson & Johnson. Nestle, Hulu, Jenny Craig, Ruby Tuesday, Miracle Year, all dropped advertising on our show overnight to the point where she had to apologize.
And what'd she say?
On any student should be proud of a 4.2 GPA, including David Hogg. So this guy had a 4.2. He's not a dummy.
Clearly.
On reflection, in the spirit of Holy Week, I had to bring God into it.
Sure.
I apologize for any upset or hurt my tweet caused him or any of the brave victims of Parkland. And then go on to continue.
Please give me my ad dollars back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is my point. Like, unless you affect people's pocketbooks, yeah. They don't change.
Yeah.
That's why I think it is a money issue at the end of the day with the NRA, with the politicians, with everyone involved.
Yep.
You have to hit. And this kid is a savage, and he's getting attacked by everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're calling him, like, young Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you even know anything about world history to be calling someone young Hitler?
No. But
that is insane to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't believe people just carelessly say stuff like that.
I mean, imagine what that guy's Instagram comments look like.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it is probably...
That's why, I mean, like, he looks so angry when he's on TV.
Yeah,
and he has a rightful... rightfully so. Like, he survives his gun thing.
But from day one, he was the number one person being accused of being a crisis actor, too.
Yeah.
You know, they had fake screen grabs of other places he was.
Yeah, and it was all fake.
Yeah.
And so it just...
They also accused him... Here's another one. They accused him of not even being in school that day.
Yeah, I saw that too. And then they clarified that too.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you want to... This kid... I don't know. This kid's a beast.
Did you see that they fake newsed the Time Magazine... Something... Teen Vogue or something cover where Emma was ripping up a gun range target, and they photoshopped the Constitution and fed it to, like, right-wing Facebook, and people bought into it and reposted it and stuff?
It's so nuts.
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 I don't... That's scary to me, man.
This is the problem with Facebook. Yeah. It's a serious issue.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Let's get out of gun land.
Okay.
High snobiety, super out of gun land. We're going to go straight into streetwear.
Yeah.
As only you can do here on group chat. High snobiety posted an article about Vetements... Right? Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay. About Vetements. And they did some digging around. They got some intel that maybe Vetements wasn't doing as good as they had been doing in the past.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you know, like, the history of the brand, but
I don't even know how to say the name. I thought it was Vetements the whole time.
Say Vetements. Who cares?
Okay.
I mean, it sounds like they're not doing
well. I thought ASAP Rocky always wears that Vetements thing. It's great.
Their whole thing was kind of a parody of, like, what's happening in streetwear, exaggerating it, like, their look, their styles, their graphic, making fun of everything. And it was very expensive. It sold at Dover Street Market, Essence, like, Mr. Porter, like, all these great retailers. And so High Snob does this whole, like, digging up. You should check out the article. I think it's still on their homepage.
Okay.
And people start saying, they start saying that they're struggling. And 2 years ago, they were a super hot brand. They did a Reebok collab. Mm-hmm. They did a bunch of collabs, and now they're saying their business is struggling, which is really, they came out firing on Instagram saying pretty much High Snob is fake news.
Yep.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, wannabe journalism, right?
Wannabe journalism.
I support it. That's a cool quote.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the more interesting story is that there's a lot of really cool hype brands. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm not going to mention brand names, but very, very cool brands will end up in my office.
Yep.
And I'll be like, oh, so how much business do you guys do? And they'll go, we crushed it this season. And we're talking, the business did less than $1 million.
Yep.
Less than $5 million. And don't get me wrong, there are people that are crushing it. Mike Amiri, Off-White, Fear God. There are brands that are doing real volume.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of guys that are just doing very, very, very little business. And the perception that we all have of these businesses is that they're huge.
Yeah.
Because we only see it on social. Vetements has 2.7 million followers on Instagram. So you'd assume they're selling some product.
Yeah.
So for them to say that, or people to say that they're not doing well. I don't know what not doing well means, and I also don't know what doing well meant for them also.
Yeah.
But they interviewed a bunch of retailers that, you know, wanted to be remained anonymous that said that the business is struggling and they're ordering less product. There's got to be some truth to that.
I believe it, though. We just live in the era of, like, flash-in-the-pan, hype-driven super marketing and no business strategy.
Yeah.
With everyone.
Yeah.
Like, even when you look at what's going on with all these new rappers and, like, Lil Xan and Tekashi 6ix9ine and all these people, all the older guys, like we talked about before, there's this, like, beef happening where they're all kind of hating on them and they're hating back. And it's like, but it's this age of these weird, like, influencer rappers, and the complaints are that their stage presence isn't right, and they're whatever, they don't have features for it. There's just, it's just a different weird world, and I feel like that's what's happening in fashion. Is you can come out, I mean, some of the people I know, some of the people that you're talking about that you met with, and some of them came out of nowhere and now are just popular. They have the hot brand and they have all this respect, and it's like, damn, you have the hot new brand, that's so crazy. But there's no plan, there was no plan on really how they got there, and so scaling it or keeping it hot is so hard.
I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what other brands are going to be faced with this in the near future.
But I think it'll be the new model. Like, I think there'll be like, there'll be the people that stay at the top, you know, like, obviously Virgil's here for a long time. I even think Jerry, whatever, all these people are here for a long time. But I think that there will be a lot of brands that come and go the same way in music. Obviously, the two are so tied together so closely. I think a lot of people will come, be these huge successes, and then fade away pretty quickly. Don't you?
No, I agree. I mean, I've been doing fashion now 16 years. There's most of the people I started with do not exist. You know, they're irrelevant, and they're just trying to kind of slowly kind of survive. And I think that's really what is going to happen, but much faster now, right? Because you're going to get your moment, you're going to make a bunch of money, and then, like, is Anti-Social Social Club going to be around 10 years from now?
I wanted to be a hater, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
I don't think so. I just think that you just couldn't do that before, right? Like, you couldn't think about, but when you first started in fashion, all of the work that you had to do before you could finally get some momentum going.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? 5 years.
Yeah, like, you had to put up money, you had to go to these trade shows, you had to go around the country, get people to buy your stuff. You had to, like, hope that you would get the right shelf space, which would expose your brand to the right consumer. Now you literally just can be right in front of someone's face tomorrow. It can catch fire. ASAP Rocky can wear it, brand millions
Ian
of people.
Ian Connor's wearing it, next thing you know.
Yeah, you set up a Shopify account, you're selling
Complex
clothes.
Con, yeah.
There you go. And I just think that wasn't even possible before. And so the backlash of that is you're going to have these come and go. The same way, once again, like, artists used to have to go to labels, get a deal, be developed, get put out, do all this stuff, go do shows, go do showcases. Now you can just become hot on Instagram and not have that longer term strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We're staying in streetwear. Let's talk Grailed.
Yeah.
This is your expertise. This is the resale game.
Yeah.
What's the excitement?
So Business of Fashion did, like, they do these really in-depth pieces on, like, brands and industries. And they did a story recently, how streetwear is the new luxury. And then they did another story on how Grailed became menswear luxury resale mecca. So pretty much, if you don't know what Grailed is, it's like it's a resale site like anyone else. The only difference is it's really focused on streetwear and really focused on men's.
Yep.
And I think the more interesting thing about it, they do a really good job of just curating excitement for that audience. They have, like, a true community. Yep. It really feels like early eBay for me. I know, like, the streetwear kids won't like it, but I remember when eBay was really on, it was like a true community of people kind of buying and selling product. And what I see happening with Grailed is they own that guy that is looking to, you know, participate in the supreme resale, buying and selling of it. Yeah. And it says that they did about $100 million in GMV, which is called gross merchandise value.
Yeah.
And they take about 8.5-9%, it says in the article.
Yeah.
So they're doing about $9 million in revenue. And, you know, they're a pretty new site, and they do a really good job of, like, curating things with people like Robert Geller and even Jerry Lorenzo's Closet. Like, they sold certain pieces, and it was very editorial kind of way it was delivered.
Yep.
So, like, this is this piece and why I got it from, like, it was like a Kanye jacket or something cool. And so all those little things like that, they've created this incredible kind of, like, euphoric kind of fandom amongst the customers. And the thing about it is, luxury reselling is the hottest thing right now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was reading it in this article, they said something like it's a $18 billion business right now in America, globally, mm-hmm. and they think in the next like 5 to 10 years, it's going to be a $33 billion business.
So insane. That's so insane.
And even they said, look, Grails traffic to their website is substantially higher than all of its competition in women's luxury resale. So in the women's space, there's RealReal, Tradesy, which we're actually an investor in, mm-hmm. and like things like that. They're doing phenomenal, but they don't get the web traffic of Grail.
Yeah.
Because this customer is obsessed with looking at this product and really looking for these items.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty, to me, it was just really interesting to see, like $100 million in sales and GMV.
Yeah.
It's a big number.
Yeah.
I mean, it can grow really, really quickly. And by the way, there's 100 people that are reselling this product. You can go to StockX, you can go to Goat, you can go, you know, there's shoes, there's clothes. It's mainly Supreme.
Yeah.
But it just shows that this market is just bigger than ever.
And reselling like that is a streetwear-based culture, right? Like, that never really happened on that level with luxury, like Louis Vuitton. I mean, was there a big site that resold the hot, like, Louis Vuitton jacket?
Yeah, so RealReal, Tradesy, they're big on that stuff. So, like, you know, Chanel handbags. Mm-hmm. Like, Chanel handbags have gone up more in value than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bag that my wife bought, like, 10 years ago that's, like, doubled in value.
Really?
Doubled.
We should have invested in Chanel purses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, that's, like, some of those items have literally, they've held their value and gone up. And women use them, and then they'll resell them for more than what they bought.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is crazy. So I actually think in true luxe, those things are, like, if you, the right items have kind of held the test.
So now
of
that
time.
Streetwear is the new luxury, that's just kind of adding to the wave.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. Sinclair. Mm-hmm. This is your expertise here, right? Okay. So Sinclair, which owns all of these smaller local news networks.
Yeah.
And Utomi is kind of a right-leaning.
They lean
not
right.
Not super extreme, but.
Yeah, they're known to lean right.
Got it. And so they own all the local news networks, which a lot of people watch, especially in like small towns and stuff like that. They don't watch the big news. And they had everyone read the same script about fake news or...
Yeah, so they wrote this crazy thing and they sent it to all their affiliates and they're claiming that they were forced to read it. And
that's really funny.
Yeah.
That sounds like really evil.
I mean, like this is the epitome of free speech being affected.
Yeah.
You're worrying about your guns being taken away, they're making news anchors say this. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. Some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. And they're having hundreds and hundreds of newscasters, and they have a clip on Deadspin of everyone saying it.
They just like play it after
that. Yeah, it's insane. Man.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's super scary. And like people, you know, to me, when that free speech element of our country is the most powerful thing because it gives everyone a platform.
Yep.
If you start doing stuff like this, I mean, it's way scarier than taking away people's guns.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really scary. It's just, I don't know. All this stuff is like a little spooky to me.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that when you own that many smaller things, you're able to do that. And it seems like maybe when you're getting that news from a smaller local network, there's no way that they're biased, right? Like CNN might be biased, Fox might be biased, but like your small little local news guys, Deborah and Charlie, who you watch every night.
Like literally the same people that do NBC 4 News in LA today were around when I was a kid 25 years ago.
You trust them.
Yeah, I trust them. I see them at the airport. I'm like, Colleen Williams. I know.
That's scary. Well, what do you think will happen? Do you think that by being called out, they will...
I mean, your boy came out firing today.
Of course he did. What'd he say?
So funny to watch fake news networks among the most dishonest groups of people I've ever dealt with criticize Sinclair Broadcasting for being biased. Sinclair is far superior to CNN and even more fake NBC, which is a total joke.
Well, and there you go. So there you have it. Okay, so that's just going to be kind of the norm
for a
little bit longer. Okay, moving on. Mm-hmm. Walmart is looking to potentially buy Humana for $37 billion.
Pocket change.
Super mellow, whatever.
Yeah.
Just a light midweek purchase. why do you think? Is that an Amazon thing?
That's definitely an Amazon thing. I think, you know, Amazon's going to enter the pharmacy business. They've kind of hinted that that's where they've even talked about Amazon Health entering mm-hmm. the healthcare mm-hmm. provider business. Mm-hmm. So I think this purchase, if it goes through, is Walmart's way to hedge off that part of their business. So mm-hmm. providing healthcare and insurance and things like that is a big opportunity because they do have pharmacies already in so many of their stores.
Yeah.
Humana has a bunch of clinics as well. It's unclear all the synergies that potentially could be involved, but like there's like cost savings. Like Amazon's probably the biggest healthcare provider in America because mm-hmm. of how many employees they have. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's cost savings there that over time could probably subsidize this deal.
Yeah.
It's just a big, it's like a mega merger that I think people, they are the single, so they, 1.5 million workers. So it's clearly going to bring down health costs for them.
Yep.
So even if you're talking about $10, $20, $50, $100 a month, mm-hmm. you're talking about billions of dollars over the course of many years.
Yep.
And Humana, by the way, is a good business and, you know, done okay. So if they can figure out a way to make it more efficient, I think it's a good way to hedge off because even CVS and Aetna merged. Pharmacy and yep. a health insurance provider.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people consolidating in that space. So I think it's a big deal. We'll see if it actually gets approved. But everyone's saying that there's no like weird monopoly issues or antitrust issues that it should get approved if it actually ends up going through.
How interesting. Yep. I'm really curious to watch the like the battle.
The giants.
Yeah. The Walmart trying to take on the big giant.
It'll all be Netflix specials in like 5 to 10 years.
I can't wait. We know whose side Trump's on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's gonna be back in Team Walmart.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we'll watch that. We'll check back in on that one. Hopefully that happens in between this episode and next week.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, let's get into some just pure pop culture and positivity.
Yeah.
Lots of new music on Friday. It was a big, big day. Mm-hmm. The Weeknd released a sort of mini album.
Yeah.
Rich the Kid released an album. We didn't write on here, but Cardi B released another single.
Oh, I didn't even listen.
What?
Yeah.
She has a whole new single, whole new sound. It's soft, Cardi B. She's really
getting
emotional and just speaking to someone who may have played games with her heart, and she doesn't like that.
How did I miss that?
Well, you need to check it out as soon as we wrap here. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It is a totally different sound. It got a lot of bad feedback, but also a lot of good. I mean, nothing crazy, but I was hearing the people in our office talk about it, and a lot of negative, but don't think it matters. I think she's so on fire. Her album comes out on Friday.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's going to be massive.
Yeah.
And then also St. John, who I don't know how much our viewer really knows about. I have trouble gauging how big St. John is.
I only know because Danny put me onto it.
Yeah, I think he's really small, but Danny, he doesn't have a lot of Instagram followers. Danny is a massive fan.
Yeah.
A&R Danny.
Yeah.
And then a couple of people are on.
And he sent it to me and he's like, you'll like this.
Yeah, and he's
good.
And I
love it.
He's good. So I would say first comment is for all the viewers, listeners, just go check out St. John. Just a really good up-and-coming artist. It's S-A-I-N-T-J-H-N.
Yeah.
So check him out on iTunes. And
what do you think about The Weeknd?
Okay, I feel bad. Once again, this is how I felt when I was kind of saying anything not so positive about Eminem. Mm-hmm. I love The Weeknd. Mm-hmm. Like, I love everything about his career, how he's handled it, his image, his music, whatever. I didn't like that album like I've liked previous ones on the first couple listens.
Yeah.
So I think I need more time. I'm also not heartbroken at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel lost.
That's what I think. Yeah. I think your mood will dictate.
If I was lonely.
Because like Eric Deluxe loved it.
He did.
He's like, oh, he's like, dear melancholy, this, that.
24/7 lonely. If I was lonely at the moment, I think.
That's what I'm saying. That's why if you see who it's resonating with and who it's not. Because he's going through that phase of his life.
Yeah.
So he's connecting with those people. Me, I'm more of a star boy guy.
Yeah. You're more of a wheels on the bus guy.
Yeah. I need hits.
Yeah. But no, I get it. I don't think it was for us in this moment.
Yeah.
I just, the thing that bothered me is in the past, even his dark, depressing music has still been hit record. Like, I don't know. I've literally liked every single project pretty much that he's ever put out.
But his last album was a pop album, which I loved.
Yeah.
But it was very different.
I agree. But I didn't dislike it, but I don't know, man. It didn't connect with me. Rich the Kid.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, better than I thought.
Yeah.
Like, his records, he had that one big record, New Freezer.
Yeah. I like Plug Walk.
Plug Walk is hot, and then you know he's had a couple others. I mean, I'm surprised by his like ability to.
Yeah, I gotta listen to it more. I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
I like St. John better, to be honest with you. I listened to that all weekend.
St. John might be my favorite of those three.
Yeah, I agree.
Check out St. John. This is not an ad. We do not even know St. John.
Yeah,
St. John, good work.
Yeah.
Okay. Some more big releases.
Yeah.
And record ratings. Roseanne.
Roseanne is hot, hot, hot.
Roseanne is hot, hot, hot. 18 million viewers?
It may even be higher. They're like, I was reading an article this morning saying once it was all said and done, it's even bigger.
Roseanne is like the Kylie Jenner of the right.
Yeah.
You know?
It's that's like, an incredible call.
Yeah. She's the Republican Kylie Jenner.
I mean, she might be as big.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
She came out.
Mean, and they released the map of like where it was, and it was all, you know, it looked like the election.
Yeah. And now it says the ratings climbed with 25 million viewers.
Sure, why not? Just keep it going. And obviously Trump posted and supported. So the big thing, he called her?
Yeah.
Darn it. The big thing, if you don't know, is that Roseanne on the show and in real life is a Trump supporter. So she voted for Trump. She supports that in real life. And then on the show, she is a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that's ever really happened. Like, meaning we haven't hit that point yet.
Yeah.
Until now, where a character on a show is a Trumpster.
But you know what? I mean, whatever. People want to watch this show. If it's good, it's good. I don't have any opinion on that. But I think it also shows that there was an opportunity to create content for a lot of people that was being underserved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, like, I love that all this, like, diversity is happening in content. So, like, you're an indie guy. You got Master of None. You got
Big Sick.
You got, you know, Black Panther. You got all these different things people could connect with. But people kind of forgot about
what the race
regular
is like
white guy wants to watch.
I couldn't. I'm sorry.
The Archie Bunker.
Yeah, man. I don't know.
I mean, whatever.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It's the same audience and the same group of people that that voted for Trump. And
yeah.
I think that those people aren't served by Hollywood at all. Like, there are no shows that openly support them.
No.
And I think that, you know, whatever. And I think that also the hype was so big on that. And she did such big interviews talking about Trump that, like, there's probably a bunch of people that hate Trump that watched it.
Yeah, of course. I think it's bigger than the Trump effect. Like, I think there was an argument also that it's not just because of Trump. All the reboots seem to be doing okay. Mm-hmm. Even like Will and Grace. I don't even understand who's watching Will and Grace.
Yeah.
I mean, but people were watching it. And it got decent ratings.
Yeah.
So I think there's some nostalgia that of all this, like, you guys are moving too fast. We need some like old school sitcom type.
Yeah,
TV
just
shows.
Forget, just tech stocks are dropping and Roseanne's hot.
Yeah, I mean,
it
literally
we're straight
like
back to the
1992.
Yeah, yeah. Screw it, man.
But it's interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm curious to see if it's just like the first episode, just madness. Let's see in episode 5. We'll check back.
Yeah, let's wait and see.
What's interesting is the average income of the Roseanne viewer that they're projecting is $75,000.
Okay.
And then I was reading an article. It actually came out last year on, I forgot what channel, what website, but here you go. It said Rick and Morty is like the hottest show for millennial males.
Yep.
And it said why broke millennials love Rick and Morty.
So it's way lower.
Yeah. Like, and it's the highest rated cable show for men. And it's a bunch of people that have no money, whereas Roseanne's viewers actually have money.
Yeah, they're like old people with careers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, hey, I like it. If it's content and it's working, I like it.
Cool.
Okay, last but not least.
Yeah.
The great people over at SoulCycle.
Yeah, I did this just for you because I know at 12 you have to usually do your
I did,
bookings.
But I retired. I'm a weightlifter now.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah, no more SoulCycle.
So this can go. This is perfect for you.
They must have known that I switched.
Yeah, and so SoulCycle.
Like, hey, Soul Weightlift.
SoulCycle is now betting that their brand is so strong that they can go into things other than cycling. What do
I
you
would
think?
Agree.
You would agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a little biased here, but I would 100% agree. I mean, it's the hottest. Think about it. SoulCycle is so well known.
Yeah.
But
you don't feel like it's just synonymous with cycling. Because that's the kind of... So they're launching a concept called Soul Annex.
Okay, let me say this. No, I do not think it's
just for cycling, but I do think the name Soul Annex is horrendous. You know what I mean? Soul Cycle has like a ring to it. Like, yeah. So I'm going to Soul Cycle. Like, yeah, I'm going over to Soul Annex.
Yeah. It's not
stupid. Yeah, if I said, hold on a minute, I got to schedule my Soul Annex schedule this week.
It sounded like you're getting a colonoscopy.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. So I don't know. But is it going to be like, is it going to be like a place called Soul Annex?
Yeah, it's already out. It's in New York City. It's the first concept they're testing.
And what do you do there?
So it's even more weird is how they're defining the different categories. So they have three categories: move, define, and align. So there's cardio, strength, and stretch and recover. So there's everything. There's Pilates, there's a cardio driven one concept, and then there's literally like foam rolling, stretch band workouts. And so that's the kind of three different categories. It's interesting because those are things that are really popular individually in different places.
Yeah.
So they're banking on their brand is so powerful that you'll just go there. I think they will.
I think they will too. How many locations do you know off the top of your head?
So they only have one. They're testing.
How many is SoulCycle though?
I think 95.
But isn't the thing that like Equinox owns all this real estate, so now they have Equinox, wherever there's an Equinox, there's this weird juice bar, and wherever there's juice bar, there's a SoulCycle, and wherever there's like they can literally just place things into their real estate.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Soul Annex can be next to every SoulCycle in America. So when they're ready to scale it, but it's curious because it's a big thing for a brand like this to eventually go into different categories.
Yeah.
Because then they're saying like the new brand will be just called Soul, which is kind of hot.
That's hot. I'm in. I have the app. I still have a $200 credit.
Wow, 200.
What was that, two classes? I buy big packages. Buy in bulk.
That's what it said, two classes.
Yeah. That's parking, a juice, and one class. Okay, great. Well, cool. We'll see what happens. That one's exciting. Yeah. I really love like all the action in that space.
Yeah.
And I think they're the leaders. I mean, they have Equinox with them. I think anyone can do it. They can
do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Cool.
There it is, my friends. Don't forget, subscribe, comment, leave your questions, concerns, hate, like and dislikes below.
Yeah.
We're always reading.
And people have been saying we need guests, so we will do that.
We promise we'll get guests. We've been a little lazy on guests, but we were working on live. So now that we got live, we will impress our friends by having them come on and be our guests and show our massive production that we have now. Thank you guys. Keep engaging. Keep interacting. We'll be back next week.